Good morning. Welcome to this Christmas Sunday at Little Swatara. We also want to extend a welcome to our listening audience as well. It's a blessing to be here in this place. God is indeed with us. He is here to meet us no matter where we are, and we give him praise, and we ask that as we celebrate his birth, we would remember the difference that he makes in our lives. Let's tune our hearts to the Lord. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to gather here, to be able to celebrate your birth, to be able to come as a family of God and be able to say, we rejoice. We are extremely glad that your son, Jesus, was sent to this earth to be born as a baby. And oh, what a difference he makes in our lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being here in our midst, for being a guide through this life that we live. To you be the glory. Amen. We want to notate the Triple J tonight. We're going to be going Christmas caroling. If you're interested in caroling, meet at the cafe at 6 p.m. We'll be on foot going throughout the town of Bethel. It will be an exciting time to celebrate the birth of Jesus through song as we carol together. The Christmas Eve service is this Wednesday at 7 p.m. There is a need for some cookies for after the service. If you could put those in the kitchen before the Christmas Eve service, we would greatly appreciate that as well. And that's at 7 p.m. and it's a cantata. It's going to be a really joyful time to be able to come together Christmas Eve and to fellowship and just hear about the Christ child through song as well. We do want to highlight that there is a membership class that's going to be forming here shortly. If anyone's interested in learning more about the Church of the Brethren, if you've recently started attending here and haven't transferred your membership, we would love to have a more detailed conversation with you about what it means to be part of the Church of the Brethren. So registration will begin next week on December 28th, and you can always talk to me if you have any interest in becoming a member or transferring your membership here to Little Swatara. We do want to continue to ask that you would send cards to Curtis, and there's an information sheet out on the narthex table with specifics on how to mail the letter and how to address it, and postage would be provided if you needed that, if you put it in Burl's mailbox. So we thank you for sending cards to Curtis to encourage him during this time. Other announcements. There is chow chow available as well at the Women's Fellowship, $4 a pint, $6 a quart. And you can see Beatrice France if you're interested in chow chow. And I've had it. It is extremely delicious. So looking for that last minute Christmas gift. There you go. Any other announcements this morning? Okay, hearing none, we invite the junior high girls for the lighting of the fourth Advent candle.
Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God.
Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word.
Rejoice in the Lord always.
Blessed is she who believed there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord.
And again, rejoice.
My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. He has looked with favor on the loneliness of his servant. Holy is his name.
And let us rejoice in God our Savior.
Mighty One, who has done great things for us, we join Mary and all our servants who proclaim the good news from generation to generation. As the advent of the Messiah draws near, may our actions magnify our love and our spirits ardently rejoice in your saving grace through Jesus Christ. Your only begotten Son and our Savior. Amen.
We invite you at this time to share your joys and concerns, those things that we are able to rejoice over, the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. What an incredible moment in history that we can commemorate here at this place. And we are so thankful that He sent His Son, that we could be saved from our sins. We have our prayer concerns listed on the bulletin. Are there any additional prayer concerns or any other joys that you would like to share with us this morning?
I do want to say thank you for your continuing card ministry to Curtis. I also want to thank this congregation for the wonderful, wonderful response we had for cards for the shut-ins. It was wonderful to visit with them this week and see their faces light up. I also bring you greetings from Amy in Tokyo. She's settled in her new digs, as she puts it, and she's teaching English as a second language in addition to she'll return to her next semester.
Wonderful. Thank you. Wonderful.
We have a couple things this morning. First off, I have a joy. Carl's cancer doctor said he couldn't be happier in Carl's results. And this past week, his cardiologist took him off the Coumadin. His heart stayed in rhythm for the past year. So that's a real joy for us, even though he's still bleeding all over everything when he cuts himself. But he's off the Coumadin. So it's a joy.
Amen.
For some time now, I've asked prayers for my sister and her family. I got a call this morning that the mother, Amy, passed away at 4:30 this morning. So I'm asking prayers for the Gambrell family and the Olette family. She leaves a 10-year-old who will remember his mother dying at Christmas and only remembers her ever being sick, and a 3-year-old who probably won't remember her. And both children lost their father about 3.5 years ago. So the little one never even knew her father. He passed away with pneumonia. So especially prayers for Ari and James. Amy was a Christian, and we know that Christ welcomed her.
Amen. Amen.
I had a joy that was long coming. My son, Albert Timmons, finally moved in his home after 2 years. And I'm happy to know that Jean made it through her surgery with flying colors, it seems.
Amen. Yes.
This week has been a wonderful week. Our son, Tim, had a procedure done on his right leg. It was successful to open an artery. My husband is here this morning, an answer to prayers. He's doing so much better. Thank you. Thank you.
Praise God. Praise God. Yes.
Please continue to pray for my brother, Danny. He had a liver transplant, and the liver is functioning well, but he needs a lot of strength in our prayers.
Okay. Any others this morning? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you that we have this incredible opportunity to converse with you, to know that you hear our prayers, to know that you respond to our prayers according to your will. Father, we just want to rejoice because of the birth of your Son. We know that this pain, this sorrow, the tears that flow from our eyes will one day be wiped away. But Lord, as we remain here in this place called earth, we know that we'll face struggles. We'll know that we'll go through difficult times. And we think of Amy, we think of her children that have lost their mother. And we know the family is grieving, and we know that, Lord Jesus, you are a comfort that you surround us with your love. And though this doesn't always make sense to us, why death happens at such inopportune times, Lord, we turn to you. And we ask that you would guide us during the grieving time, that you would care for those small children in a way that they would know a love that is so profound that you offer each and every single one of us. Lord, we do thank you for Danny and the liver transplant, that it went well, but Lord, you know the strength that he needs, and we pray in Jesus' name, Lord, you would just give Danny strength, that you would just lift him up, that you would encourage him, and you would allow this liver to function properly. And we're so thankful that the transplant did go well. And we think of Tim and the operation he had and the difference it's already making in his life. And we just pray for any discomfort he may be feeling and just ask you would continually minister to his health needs and to his life as well as Gerhardt. We thank you for him being here this morning, for the life that he has led, the joy that he brings to so many people. And we pray that you would continue to bring fullness to his life and to Lois's as well. And we just thank you for Amy and just the work she's doing in Tokyo. And we just thank you for the way that she's able to teach English and be able to share her faith in unique ways. And we pray that you would continue to be with Amy. And we think of Curtis in prison right now, Lord. We pray that you would meet him exactly where he is, Lord, that you would just guide his thoughts, that you would bring him a peace, you would bring him a calmness, and just allow him to know that you are his God, that you are there to meet his needs, as well as each need here in this place not mentioned. And Lord, we think of Dorothy, we think of Richard and Jay and Rufus and Charlotte and Gerald, and we think of the Nigerian warfare happening, and we think of Clark Hoover and all those on our minds right now, Lord, at this Christmas time, those that we've lost, dear loved ones that are rejoicing in heaven with you right now. And we just pray, Lord, that we would be faithful as we remain here and think of that good news that you have given us. And Lord, help us to be able to share it on a regular basis. Help us not to have fear. Help us to be open and to be honest about what we believe. And may we say, unto us a child is born, as well as Merry Christmas. And we just thank you for this time of year. We thank you for this season of rejoicing. And we just ask that you would hear our prayers of confession during these next few moments of silent prayer. Father, it is so good to be in this place. We pray that we would tune our hearts into your Holy Spirit, that your Spirit would be given permission to guide our lives, that we would surrender, that we would let our lives be a reflection of your Son Jesus, who walked this earth, who went through every emotion that we've gone through. And we pray, Lord, that we would think of friends this morning. We would think of loved ones this morning that may not know you, and they would be a burden to us, Lord, that we would live a life that would be contagious, that others would want the hope that we have, and they would see past the hypocrisy. But Lord, let us be true to our calling as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ. Lord, we give you all glory. We thank you for this Christmas season and the difference it makes in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Christmas time. grace, and life and health come in its place.
When sin departs before his grace, and life and health come in its place. Angels with joy gladly sing. They joy to praise the helper King. Sing alleluia, glory to God. Sing praise to him who reigns above. Sing alleluia.
The Bible makes clear that Christ's motive for giving himself to and for us was that we might become rich. The gift has been given, verified in history, recorded clearly by all the gospel writers, and experienced by multitudes of believers. God gave his Son, who willingly gave himself for us. His motive, that we might become rich. Rich in faith, rich in Christ. Rich in hope, rich in eternal life, and rich in love. There is only one explanation for such giving: grace, unearned and undeserved love of God for us. What a gift. Might we return a gift to him in the same way. Let's pray. Father, just thank you for the way that you continually bless us in our lives. There are times we're not certain how ends will meet, but Lord, when we continually seek your face, your provisions are evident. So Father, we pray this morning that we would give out of a joyful heart, a generous heart, and allow your will to be accomplished in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Invite any children to join us this morning for our children's moment. It's always exciting to have the children sing, and we thank the Karen and the volunteers that just make it all so possible. We're very blessed here with the children that join us for children's moment and for singing in the Jubilee Choir. What do you think? Oh, I didn't bring the book, though. I brought something else. Yeah. So I have a bag full of fruit. And fruit comes into play from the very beginning of the Bible. Can anyone tell me what type of fruit that is? What is that?
An orange.
That's an orange. Do you want to hold the orange for me? Okay. Now, this one's my favorite because this is kind of like a multitasker. It's not only a what? What is this? It's not only a banana, but it's a phone too, right?
Yeah.
Right? So who wants to hold the banana? You're going to hold the banana? All right. Now, this one's my personal favorite. It's the wrong color, though. I kind of like them in yellow, but this is a red delicious. What kind of red delicious is this? It's an apple. Who wants to hold the apple? Okay. So when we look at all of these fruit, there's one of these fruit that stands out, at least from our own perception of what that fruit was. And we're going back to, where do you think we're going to go in the Bible when we talk about a fruit? Not quite the fruits of the Spirit. Back to the very beginning. Graham, do you know? Where are we at in the Bible? Someone took a bite. Do you remember who took a bite of something? It's not peeled yet. You're right. It's not peeled yet. That makes it difficult to eat. You are absolutely right. So we're in Genesis, actually. In Genesis, remember, God created Adam, and then out of Adam's rib, he created who? Adam and Eve. And there was this serpent. Remember the serpent that was very sly, kind of like a snake is what they say, and came up beside Eve and said, "Surely you're not going to die," and tricked her into eating a fruit that we believe to be what? An apple, right? We think it's an apple. What happened as soon as Eve ate that apple? Something was opened. Not Christmas presents. We'll do that in a couple days. But her eyes were opened and she became like God. Now, did God try to kind of restore? He kind of had a flood and kind of wiped all the wickedness off the earth and saved a particular family. Remember that story?
Yeah.
But did that ever work? It all comes back to the curse of the eating the apple, right? And the eyes being opened. So God had to do something, and I think the moment that Eve crunched the apple and Adam crunched the apple, God's plan of sending Jesus, which we celebrate this Christmas, was already put into motion. So my belief is that apple, when that fruit was taken a bite out of, God knew that he was going to be sending his only son to this earth. Even though he tried and tried and tried to make reconciliation, to make right with these people, they just continued to be wicked. So Jesus came at Christmas, and why do we get to rejoice? What's the most important thing that we get to rejoice that Jesus came? What did he do for us? What do you think?
He died on the cross for our sins.
Right, he came to be born to die. Could you imagine coming to earth, realizing that, you know what, I'm being born and I'm only going to get to live here for 30-some years, and then I'm going to die for these people's sin. Could you say the word love? Tell these people, that's love. That's love. That is unconditional love, willing to sacrifice their life,
Hello?
Jesus' life, so that we might be saved from our sins. So as you guys live through your life, as you celebrate Christmas, I want you to have a great time, awesome time, opening up your gifts and remembering, you know, some family traditions that you have. But what do you think the one thing is I don't want you to forget about at Christmas? What do you think the one thing is I don't want you to forget? Why don't you all say it at once so we can remind the adults out here, too, not to forget the reason for the season. Who's the reason for the season on the count of one? Nice and loud. One, two, three.
Jesus
is the reason for the season. Yes. So let's pray and just remember as you open your gifts that, you know, that apple, when Eve ate that, God was already thinking about Jesus being sent to the earth so that our sins could be forgiven. So hopefully someone will peel that orange so you guys can eat that, and peel the banana so you can eat that. The apple, you can just dive right into. You can just start crunching right away. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you that when Eve took a bite out of that apple, you were already thinking about a plan to be able to save us from our sin. Lord, we know on a daily basis we struggle with temptation. We struggle with things that make us do the wrong thing. And so we pray that you would help us to love one another, to be able to realize that your love through your Son is evident in this world. And as we open Christmas gifts, we might remember that your Son Jesus is the reason. And we just thank you for every single one of these dear, precious children. We pray blessings over them as they celebrate with family, and we get to rejoice the birth of your Son. And we just pray for their families as they bring them up in the faith, getting to know you through their actions. And we pray as they are parents and grandparents and relatives and loved ones that they would see you through them. Just continue to bless them, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you.
Me? Are you talking to me? I'm just a teenage hick girl from a poor home in this unknown town called Nazareth. You could have chosen anyone, God. Certainly more girls exist with more potential than me. I'm just a common, lowly servant girl. Are you sure this isn't a mistake? I'm a virgin. How can I have a child? Don't be frightened. Are you kidding me? I'm terrified. How can this be? Why me, God? You decided to bless me by becoming pregnant and having a son. And I'm to name him Jesus. But what about like Nathaniel or Matthew or Joseph Jr.? I love those names. He's going to be called the Son of the Most High. He'll be given the throne of his ancestor David. And he's going to reign over Israel forever, and his kingdom will never end. But I still don't know how I'll be pregnant. By the Holy Spirit? The power of the Most High is going to overshadow me. And the baby I'm giving birth to will be holy? He's going to be called the Son of God. This is all too much. And now my relative, Elizabeth, is in her 6th month of pregnancy. She's old! Do you realize how old she is? People called her barren. You're so right when you say nothing is impossible with God. I'm not questioning this anymore. I am, after all, the Lord's servant. I accept whatever he wants. So may it be so, as you have said.
This makes all the difference. Mary, though frightened and unsure, answered God's call to be the mother of Jesus. As with our lives, not everything God calls us to makes sense. Yet Mary, a few days later, after this angel encounter, travels to the hill country of Judea where Zechariah lived. We remember from Luke 1 that Zechariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty that week. As was custom of the priests, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary and burn incense in the Lord's presence. It was there he had a similar experience with an angel. But he claimed he was too old and couldn't believe that his wife, also along in years, could become pregnant. So he was unable to speak until the child was born. Meanwhile, there's a crowd outside who is praying. And when he comes out, they're like, "What took you so long?" But he couldn't speak and used only gestures. The crowd knew at that moment he had seen a vision. In the meantime, Elizabeth becomes pregnant and is in seclusion for 5 months. She's simply joyous over the fact of how kind the Lord is, taking away the disgrace of having no children. We fast forward to Mary's visit with Elizabeth, and something incredible happens. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaps within her. This takes me back to when Denise was pregnant with our first child, Abigail. We read somewhere in one of those many, many baby books that talking to your baby in the womb was beneficial. It was one of those days at work, and I had arrived home and sat on the couch with Denise. I decided to take the advice, and I leaned down toward her stomach and started talking to Abby, saying how excited I was to meet her and all that baby talk. "You're going to be so cute. I can't wait to hold you in my arms, my little snuggle bug. You're going to be Daddy's precious baby girl." And in that moment, as I was talking, she began to squirm around, and it was such complete happiness. The way her belly did the wave was so intense. Now we can imagine, this was somewhat a similar experience for Mary, except it says baby John jumped for joy. Even in the womb, John recognizes the presence of the Messiah, for whom he will prepare the way. And it was in that moment, Mary, after hearing Elizabeth say, "You are blessed by God above all other women, and your child is blessed," you believed that the Lord would do what he said. This makes all the difference. The Lord simply requires us to believe, to trust Him, to know that His will is perfect and pleasing, though not always making the most sense. God invites us, as He did Mary, to be baffled and uneasy. Mary, sooner than later, understood her son's mission before his birth. She knew that he would fulfill God's promise to Israel. What about us? Do we grasp the difference we can make in this world? Is the Lord speaking to us and we can't quite comprehend what He's saying? Could it be that we, like Mary, are to accept whatever He wants? It's a terrifying place to be in our Christian walk. But we realize God is calling each of us to do far greater things in His name. The world is watching. We don't do this journey alone. It takes all of us. There's billions unreached that are waiting. Are we listening? Do we hear Him calling? We bid well to know that His ways are not our ways. Like Mary, He uses surprising people to accomplish His amazing work in this world. And you know what? He'll use even us, ordinary, everyday people. It's whether or not we'll be like Zechariah and not believe, or Mary, though confused and disturbed, saying, "May everything you have said come true." God's favor doesn't always equal smooth sailing or an easy time. This village teenager is more responsive to the promise of God's supernatural power than is the Jerusalem priest. Mary's acceptance embraces not only the impossibility of what the angel has promised, but also the personal cost of this unique role she has been called to undertake. Now talk about a shining example of faith. She was willing to trust God without even knowing what lies ahead. There's times in our lives we take a leap of faith. We trust God to see us through. It could be a new calling in our career paths, leadership roles to assume in the church, or accepting God's will toward forgiveness. That leap of faith makes all the difference. God chooses the most improbable people to fulfill His purpose. Don't miss out on the call. He delights in honoring those who the world would hardly notice. God's promise by all means can be relied on, even when human expectations aren't met. Mary has come to grips with what's about to happen and prepares us for the challenges to the status quo that mark Jesus' ministry. She responds in a song of praise in chapter 1 of Luke, verses 46b to 55. "Oh, how I praise the Lord, for He took notice of His lowly servant girl, and now generation after generation will call me blessed. For He, the Mighty One, is holy, and He has done great things for me. His mercy goes on from generation to generation to all who fear Him. His mighty arm does tremendous things. How He scatters the proud and haughty ones. He has taken princes from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has satisfied the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. And how He has helped His servant Israel. He has not forgotten His promise to be merciful. For He promised our ancestors, Abraham and his children, to be merciful to them forever." This song reflects a collage of echoes from the book of Psalms and other poetic sections of the Old Testament. What we recognize about God is that He will never be limited by anyone's expectation. He'll work in whatever situation or place to carry out His plan. Mary's rejoicing celebrates the entire reach of God's saving work. Think about reality shows like The Voice, or America's Got Talent, or even American Idol. Our tendencies to root for the underdog, the ordinary person who begins as just another face in the crowd and winds up set apart as one in a million. Consider that moment the winners announce and the confetti falls and the tears start to flow. There's that feeling of being overwhelmed, overjoyed, honored, appreciated, grateful, and yet deeply humbled. This is what it means to be part of the church, called out and set apart, made holy, saints. Those contests are often superficial qualities or skills that make a person unique. But what a saint feels is based on God's undeserved and gracious call. God intentionally chose us to carry out this good news. We can make the difference because of who we are in Christ. The Jews were expecting a royal birth fit for a king. Instead, they got a dark, dingy stable. It's a makeshift maternity ward, but it would have to do. You can sense that the animal's breath may have given heat against that cold air night. A bit of hay for a mattress, a manger or feeding trough as a crib. One thing you gotta hand Joseph is he made the best out of a dim situation. We have to wonder about this special child's grand entrance into the world. The first birth announcement is made to this group of lowly shepherds. Ancient Israelites looked at shepherds the way some people today look at used car salesmen. Right, wrong, or indifferent, these flock watchers had a terrible reputation. They were taught to be shady, unreliable, even distasteful. They were even shunned by society. Given all that, isn't it kind of strange, funny even, that when the Messiah arrives, the angels take this news not to kings or prophets or priests, but to a bunch of bleary-eyed shepherds in the Bethlehem hills. What kind of welcome is this for the one the prophets called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace? Apparently the one who was called the Lamb of God by John the Baptist and who called himself the Good Shepherd wanted to be with his own kind of people right from the start. Now, as new parents, we expect to hear, "Aw, he's so cute," or "How precious. I could just eat him up. Look at those chubby cheeks, those tiny little hands and feet." Instead, they hear a series of odd prophetic comments from total strangers, one of which grabs the child and bursts into song, and another that says, "Okay, now I can die. I've seen the promised one." Or the most disturbing comment from Simeon, who looks at Mary and says something about a sword one day piercing her soul. What's a mother supposed to do with that? But in a way we least expected, this makes all the difference. The birth of the Savior of the world, we have reason to rejoice of such glorious news. Romans 16:25-27 proclaims the mystery of the end time conversion of the nations. It reads, "God is able to make you strong, just as the good news says." It is the message about Jesus Christ and his plan for you Gentiles, a plan kept secret from the beginning of time. But now, as the prophets foretold, and as the eternal God has commanded, this message is made known to all Gentiles everywhere, so that they might believe and obey Christ. To God, who alone is wise, be the glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, there's several facts that meet us in this passage. First, history is his story. God's plan of salvation can be traced in the Old Testament. Now, this coming Christmas being fully revealed in the New Testament, in the gospel of Jesus Christ, which culminates in Christ's return. And secondly, this message is for Jews and Gentiles alike. This makes all the difference. The good news is open to the entire world and to all people groups. Many of you, as you came through the sanctuary doors, received a Tootsie Roll. Some of you may have already enjoyed the chocolatey goodness revealed by removing the wrapper and taking it in through your body. That's a lot like the good news of Christmas. God sent a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes to save us from our wrongdoing. This baby can't make a difference until we open our hearts and receive him. Much like that Tootsie Roll, it's not very appealing packaged away in our hand or pocket. But when we open it, and you may do so now if you haven't already, we see the joy it brings to our taste buds. God is offering us his Son, Jesus Christ, this Christmas as the good news, which can't stay neatly packaged as just a free gift. It needs opened. It needs received. Maybe you're here this morning or you're listening in today, and that goodness has never been offered to you. It's always been kept in the wrapper. Our invitation to you today is to receive that good news that our Messiah is born. And you too can rejoice that he uses ordinary people like each of us to make a huge difference in the world. I'd invite you to close your eyes. And if you're here or you're listening in and have never opened your heart to God, or you've struggled lately with what it means to be a follower, please, please repeat this good news with me. Father, I need you. I'm not able to save myself. I confess I've done wrong and failed to do what is right. I believe that your Son was born as a perfect sacrifice. I believe he freely gave his life to forgive me, dying on the cross in my place and saving me from the consequences of my sin. I believe he rose again and has given me new life. I trust in you, Jesus, and want to live my life for you. Amen. If you said that prayer for the first time, you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there are angels in heaven rejoicing. I'd encourage you, if this was your first time or you've been struggling in your faith lately, to tell someone so that they too can walk alongside you as we live out this true meaning of Christmas, of what it means to have the good news inside of our hearts, but not that it stays there, that that good news bursts forth and goes into this world, making all the difference. Check out this video.
God is willing that not a single person should perish.
Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would allow the church to arise. Father, I pray that you would stir in the very hearts of every single member, every single person sitting here in these pews, every single person listening in this very day. Father, we pray that you would awaken us to see that there is a world that is lost, that there is a world waiting for the good news to reach them, that there is hope, that they no longer must live in dismay, that they no longer have to live in pain and hurt without knowing that one day that all ends. So, Father, we pray that you would begin to minister to us here in this place. Father, that you would melt our hearts toward the needs of others. That you would allow us to share this good news this Christmas. Father, we gather as family, we gather as friends, and we know around those dinner tables there are people that are struggling. We know there are people that know you but just don't understand why life has handed them the cards that they have. So we pray, Lord, that you would use us, Lord Jesus, to help them, to guide them, to get them through this phase in their life only through allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. Father, we know that there is power available. Father, we know that there is a difference that we can make if only we surrender, if only we step aside and say, Lord, here we are. Use us, Lord Jesus. May we be beacons of light. May we be peace in a world that only knows harm. May we be the people that you have called us to be, not only at Christmas, but throughout the year. Father, forgive us. Father, forgive us for those times where we haven't shared that good news with others. But start a spark here in this place amidst our listening audience that we would go forth and we would share the greatest gift that has ever been given. The gift of Jesus Christ, to whom we give all glory, to whom we give all honor, and to whom we thank for this new life that we have. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. us a child is born, a son is given, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is our everlasting peace. He is the one who makes all the difference. Now go forth this Christmas season and proclaim the good news of the coming Messiah. Amen.